I'm David Martin Davies, and coming up on The Source, San Antonio's air quality ranks among the nation's worst. That's according to the American Lung Association's 2025 State of the Air Report. The San Antonio-New Braunfels-Kerrville metro area is listed as the 20th worst polluted in the U.S. for ground-level ozone, or smog, worse than its 24th place ranking of last year. Ozone aggravates asthma and other lung diseases and has been linked to heart attacks, strokes, and premature death. Public health advocates say persistent ozone exceedances remains a significant concern for children, seniors, outdoor workers, and people with chronic lung or heart disease. So why is the region's air so bad, and what can be done about it? This is a community conversation. We want to hear from you. Call in at 833-877-8255. That's what's coming up on The Source, but first, this news.
Support for The Source podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at uthealthsa.org.
Are you ready to amplify your impact through workplace giving? Many employers match donations, doubling or even tripling your support for TPR's local and global programming. Some employers even match gifts from retirees and spouses, so your contribution can go even further. Check if your company participates today by visiting tpr.org/workplacegiving.
Live from the John L. Santico studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. According to the American Lung Association State of the Air 2025 report, the San Antonio metro area ranked among the nation's most polluted cities for ozone. The report highlights the health risk for sensitive groups, including children, seniors, and those with chronic respiratory or heart conditions. If you or someone in your home has asthma, you already know this, and you're living with the consequences. Asthma is the top reason for local kids to be absent from school. Even if you don't have asthma, you likely notice that there are certain days when breathing can be a little rough, but you don't have to accept it. We're going to be talking about San Antonio's air quality, what can be done about it. We do want to hear from you. How does the air quality impact you or your family? The number to call in is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. You could also email us at thesource@tpr.org, and you can text us at that call-in number, 833-877-8255. We're joined this hour by Joanna Struther. She is the American Lung Association Senior Director of Advocacy. And Joanna, welcome to The Source.
Thank you so much for having me.
And also with us is Joshua Smith. He is a senior attorney with the Sierra Club's Environmental Law Program. And Joshua, it's good to have you.
Thank you for having me.
So, Joanna, let me ask you, just tell me, how bad is it really, San Antonio air?
Yeah, so the American Lung Association puts out this yearly report card because we want people to better understand their air quality and how to protect themselves. And so when we specifically look at the San Antonio area, San Antonio does rank 20th in the nation for unhealthy ozone days. In fact, in this year's report, we saw more days where ozone increased unhealthy, and actually has a worse ranking than our report of last year. So San Antonio was ranked 24th last year, so moving up a couple spots.
And so what causes that? I mean, why does San Antonio have this bad air?
Sure, there's many reasons. So we actually need a recipe to form ozone. So you need volatile organic compounds, and you need nitrous oxide, so VOCs and NOx, and those two under the presence of sunlight and heat, which we have here in Texas, forms ozone. And there's a lot of reasons why ozone forms. So fuel combustion in vehicles, industrial boilers, power plants, oil and gas wells, even vapors from chemical solvents and consumer products. So when these things combust, and again, under presence of sunlight and heat, it forms unhealthy ozone.
Joshua, the Sierra Club has filed a lawsuit asking the EPA, or demanding the EPA, to do better, I guess. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, under the Clean Air Act, states, and where the states fail to do so, EPA have obligations to improve air quality and, in particular, attain, come into compliance and maintain compliance with ozone health safeguards. And for the San Antonio area, Bexar County, writ large, the area has been out of attainment or in non-compliance with the ozone standards. And this lawsuit is designed to force EPA to either step in and correct the problem or approve a plan that the state puts forward that actually does so. And as we've been discussing so far, there are a number of mechanisms that can help improve air quality in the Bexar County area. And in our view, a low-hanging fruit mechanism is addressing pollution from industrial sources, and in particular, power plants, which are large emitters of nitrogen oxide, a key component of ozone creation.
Right. And so we've been talking about non-attainment in San Antonio forever. And we are in non-attainment now, partly because this air quality has gotten worse, and also the I guess the level between attainment and non-attainment has also tightened. But, you know, in that area, we've been talking about having emissions inspections on local vehicles, but that's not even expected to start until November of 2026 of next year. If we're in non-attainment now, why are we waiting another year before these emissions inspections on these ICE vehicles have to begin, Joshua?
Yeah, it's a very good question. And it's sort of one of the issues that's at the heart of our litigation and our strategy around ozone in Bexar County. The reason that these inspections are not going into effect until next year is because Texas has sort of dragged its feet in implementing aspects of the Clean Air Act. The inspection and maintenance issues you were talking about were supposed to have been implemented nearly 5 years ago. In addition to those inspections, Texas had an opportunity to require industrial sources, power plants, refineries, and the like, to install and operate common sense, sort of modern standards for reducing emissions. The entire way Texas, and in particular TCEQ, have dragged their feet on implementing the act, we think that it could have been done much faster. It should have been done much faster. And that's really what this lawsuit is designed to do.
And so back to the American Lung Association and, you know, the idea that people should not have to struggle to breathe, shouldn't have to suffer bad air. Things can be done to deal with that. So Joanna, obviously when they allow these conditions to persist or don't take action to improve the air quality, then that impacts quality of life, even health, public health.
Yeah, absolutely. So in our report, we look at ozone and particle pollution, specifically PM2.5, because they are the most widespread and the most dangerous to our health. So as a public health organization, we want to make sure that people know the quality of their air can impact their health.
And their children's health. I mean, you know, the air quality impacts low birth weights. Kids have asthma, early death, lung disease, heart disease, COPD. I can keep going.
Yes, absolutely. So air quality, especially for those sensitive groups you're mentioning, children, those over 65, pregnant women, people with lung disease or cardiovascular disease, are definitely at a risk. But the truth is, everyone, even healthy people, can experience symptoms from unhealthy air. And if we want to protect our next generation, we have to do more.
All right. So we're going to take a break here, but our phone lines are open. We do want to hear from our listeners. How are you impacted by the air quality in San Antonio? It is not great. And it seems to be getting worse because the report that came out in 2024 listed San Antonio as the 24th worst air quality in the nation, and now we're the 20th worst. So we're moving up on the scale where you don't want to move up. We're going in the wrong direction. So what can be done about that? What do we need to know about what's causing our air air situation? Who do we pressure? Who do we talk to? Who do we vote for in order to change that outcome? But we do want to hear from you about, I mean, do you have a child with asthma? Do you have asthma? Do you have bronchitis? Do these things really impact you? Do you notice? You don't need the weatherman to tell you that it's an ozone action day. You wake up and you already know it. Give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK, and The Source will continue right after this break.
Support for this podcast of The Source comes from Texas Mutual Insurance Company. They are committed to helping policyholders build strong and thriving businesses through their exceptional service. More at texasmutual.com/texansdeliver. Texas Mutual. Texans get it.
You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. San Antonio has some of the worst air quality in the nation. Oh, what is causing that? What can be done about that? How is it impacting quality of life, quality of health in San Antonio? That's our topic today. You can call in and tell us how it's impacting you and your family. 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Joshua Smith at the Sierra Club's Environmental Law Program. As I understand it, only about 20% of the local ozone situation that we have here in San Antonio is created locally. It's actually a statewide issue. We're breathing in the ozone from Houston, Dallas, other parts of the state. Is that right?
Yeah, and no doubt, ozone is a complicated air pollution problem. It not only is transported from other parts within the state, it's transported from other states. And likewise, the precursor emissions, nitrogen oxide, transport to other states and cause significant air pollution problems in many other states across the nation. That fact, however, doesn't obviate or relieve Texas and really the San Antonio area of addressing the pollution that they can. And the fact is there are a number of very large industrial sources. And I call these sort of the low-hanging fruit for the Bexar County area because they are large facilities that lack modern pollution controls. And in particular, the Spruce Power Plant that's owned by CPS Energy right there by Calaveras Lake. And not coincidentally, one of the monitors near Calaveras at Heritage Middle School has already registered 102 parts per billion this year in ozone. And that's nearly 50% higher than the standard that EPA set as being safe to breathe. And so this is a source of pollution that could be relatively easily controlled with cost-effective upgrades or by shifting to cleaner sources of energy generation. And again, it's just a one facility kind of deal here that you could make quite a bit of a difference for the entire Bexar County area. Now, that's not to discount.
Yeah, but I want to mention, though, that the Spruce plant has been targeted by CPS Energy to be retired, to be shut down. But there has been a directive from the Trump administration not allowing coal-burning power plants to be shut down.
Yeah, that's a great point. So CPS has plans to retire one of the units. There are two large coal boilers at that facility. They're planning to retire one of the units in 2028 and convert the other to gas in about 2029. That is quite a ways off, and so 3 or 4 years away. In fact, is plenty of time for the utility to plan for and obtain other sources of generation. And so, while the Trump administration likes to call this an emergency, 4 years of time to develop an alternative generation source is more than sufficient and likely doesn't constitute the kind of emergency that Congress had anticipated in enacting the Federal Power Act. In any case, there are cleaner sources of energy that are out there that are coming online. And to its credit, CPS Energy has some plans to adopt and construct renewable energy that would replace part of that spruce power plant.
Yeah, when you say state of emergency, Donald Trump has signed an energy emergency in the nation, even though there is no emergency. They use that in order to get around regulation that would improve air quality.
That's exactly right.
I'm going to go to a caller. It's for Deborah. Deborah, thanks for calling in. The number is 833-877-8255 if you want to join us. And Deborah, you're on the air.
Hi. You had asked people who have experience with this. I was actually diagnosed with asthma, and I supposedly had asthma for 2 years. So I would show up at my PCP with coughing. I had phlegm in my throat. I couldn't breathe. And obviously, I had all the symptoms of being sick, and I'd go home with a zip pack. It ended up that he sent me to an asthma doctor, asthma allergy. I wasn't allergic to anything, but they said I had asthma. So I ended up on all the cycle. At the end, I was on Symbicort twice a day, in the morning and in the night. I took Flokinase all day. I had my albuterol. I couldn't even speak to you like I am now without coughing. So I started doing more research to try and help myself because I'm like too young to, it was like I was 80 years old and I smoked all my life. And so I started noticing the pollution monitoring that was going on online. And I started noticing whenever it was high, that's when I was coughing and needing my albuterol and doing all of that stuff. So what I started doing was giving myself tea, staying inside during that time period. And slowly I was able to get myself off all of the medicine. I have been off of Symbicort. I haven't even used albuterol in 2 years now. And I tell all the doctors that I run into in my work, you know, about my story. And I do live by a very high toxic area, which is by Port SA or former Kelly Air Force Base. And so I think that some of the health numbers that you see out there could stop, or we could save lots of tax dollars on health if we could reclaim our clean air.
Deborah, and so you were diagnosed as an adult with asthma, is that right? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Okay. And you were suffering these symptoms without knowing what they were for a while. Is that it?
Yes.
All right. Well, Deborah, I'm glad you were diagnosed. I'm glad you're off the meds and that you're now speaking out, and your voice is important in helping people understand what's really going on. So thank you for calling in. Joanna Strother, what do you think about Deborah's story?
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately, Deborah's story is a story we hear a lot. It is a story of people who were not allergic or did not have asthma as a child who now have asthma directly related to the quality of their air they're breathing. And what Deborah described is the precautions she's taking is exactly what we talk about, is check your local air quality forecast and plan your day accordingly. Not always is the air quality bad all day, but check it. And when it is, minimize your time outdoors. She did everything right. But unfortunately, the air pollution, it's still there. It's still forming until we take action and we take some of these public policy measures that we need to help the burden of people breathing in this poor air. So unfortunately, yes, we do hear Deborah's story a lot.
Well, it seemed like the general attitude is we don't really connect these two big dots. We have individuals who are suffering because of the air quality, and then we have policies that allow air quality to be bad. And the general attitude is, well, it sucks to be you. Too bad you have to deal with that.
Yeah, we keep giving polluters a green light, and we keep paying for it on the front with our health. And that's really why we're putting out this report every year. We've been doing it for over 20 years because we want people to know that even though maybe there's not some of these actions happening in our state or on our local level, we still can protect our health by paying attention to that air quality forecast and taking precautions.
Let's go next caller. We have Juan. Juan, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. My concern with what's going on, and your guest touched on it a little bit, this is issues that are going around through the whole state, actually nationwide. But the problem is with, or what will exacerbate the problem, is the current policies of the Trump administration that is, in effect, limiting clean energy. You know, I recall when he was running for president that he asked for $1 billion from the oil companies for his campaign. And that's the problem. These oil companies, in effect, buy the politicians with their donations and whatnot. And that's what also keeps the policies from coming into play with regards to clean air.
Well, Juan, thanks for bringing up that point. Joshua Smith, a senior attorney with the Sierra Club's Environmental Law Program. So enabling, you know, carbon burning energy production, that's, do you see that as a cause, as a factor?
Certainly. I think, as you mentioned before, the Trump administration has taken steps like issuing this emergency proclamation in an attempt to keep coal-burning power plants online past their useful life. These are typically uneconomic and very dirty plants. But like your caller mentioned, taking steps to roll back clean energy tax incentives, which would improve air quality in Bexar County and countless other areas across the country. Not just tax incentives for building new generation, but tax incentives for folks to purchase new and previously owned electric vehicles, to purchase electric water heaters. Things like that can have improvement on air quality right in your neighborhood, right in your home. And what we have seen really is an unprecedented assault on clean energy by this administration, and efforts to prop up dirty, in our view, dirty, inefficient, and uneconomical energy sources.
All right, let's go to Russell on the phones. And Russell, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you very much, Joshua. We have actually talked before. I'm a member of the Sierra Club and a retired pharmacist. I've worked in the area for 25 years near where Deborah is talking about, in the heart of the west side of San Antonio. And I would follow the ozone season to see the peak in our kids of the albuterol inhalers, everything else, all of the other different inhalers. I had a Medicaid inspector come into my pharmacy and say, why are you having all of this stuff here? They looked at my shelves to see if we're really selling all of these to Medicaid or not. And look at the ozone level we have here and how it corresponds to our ozone season. We've made some progress and stuff with CPS Energy, and I applaud what they're doing, but got them to shut down the dirty, dilly coal plants, but we keep putting off on shutting down these other ones. Thank you, and I'll take the comments off the air. Thank you.
Russell, thanks for calling in. They brought up a really great point there. So, Joanna Strother, if kids have asthma and they're low income, do they have access to, you know, these inhalers?
Unfortunately, not all the time. That's why access to quality, affordable health care, what we put into Medicaid, Medicare, is really important. Because what we say at the Lung Association is, if you can't breathe, nothing else matters. And we need to make sure that patients have access to inhalers, that children have access, especially. They're one of the sensitive groups, of course, and they're one of the groups that spend the majority of their time outdoors.
So, and being indoors, is really the air that much better indoors?
Not always. So air quality indoors also has its own problems, especially with what you have inside your home. If it is a poor air quality day and you have your windows open, or maybe your air is circulating from the outside into your home, you're bringing it into the house. We're also concerned about that. Also, wildfire smoke. You know, we're talking about ozone, but PM2.5 is definitely an issue. And especially during wildfire seasons, and could be a wildfire in New Mexico and blowing, you know, into Texas. That also has an impact on our health, can come into our homes. And so, again, very concerned about the health impacts of both ozone and particle pollution.
Well, we deal with when they burn the fields in Mexico and Central America that comes up into here. We also have the Sierra dust. We have a lot of particulate issues, and we also have all these allergens that come down when we get the blue northers coming down from the north, bringing all the allergens. So we have a lot of challenges when it comes to the air, and not all of it is connected to, you know, burning fossil fuels and stuff like that. So we have a lot to think about and talk about. So we're going to do that coming back from this break. Our phone lines are open, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. The source continues after this break. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about San Antonio's air quality. There are a number of factors leading to how San Antonio's air quality ranked 20th worst in the nation in the latest American Lung Association report. And, you know, we have, you know, high ozone, ground ozone level pollution. We have year-round particle pollution. And we also have all these other factors, you know, oil and gas industry emissions, vehicle emissions. Our geography and weather is also a factor. Terms like, you know, the hot summers, the high pressure air domes that we have. During the summertime, the air just lingers and it just allows a lot of this ozone and other particulates to pile up. How does this impact you? What do you want to see done? Do you think that we're doing enough to try to make air, you know, quality livable here in San Antonio? And again, our guests are Joanna Strother, American Lung Association Senior Director of Advocacy, and Joshua Smith. He's a senior attorney with the Sierra Club's Environmental Law Program. So, Joanna Strother, we have all these external factors. I don't know if you know, we can do anything about the Sierra dust that blows in every year and the smoke that comes up from, you know, Mexico and Central America. I mean, these are things that do impact quality of life and breathing. Well, what can be done about that?
Yeah, so you're right. Our changing climate has a huge burden on forming the air pollution we're seeing. So extreme heat and drought is contributing to the steady increase in deadly particle pollution, and it's helping to form ozone. That's why moving to stuff like non-combustion sources with our energy sources in vehicles is really helpful so that those particles and that ozone isn't forming. So the more that we can transition away from non-combustion or from combustion sources to non-combustion is how we're going to better protect our air and better protect the people that live in San Antonio and all throughout Texas.
And we have also a lot of allergy in our air, allergens in our air, particularly coming through the hill country and, you know, and ending up right, I think, right at my house. You know, we feel that. And that's another thing that we have to, you know, we're confronted with. So you're thinking about it as we have these compounding factors and some things we can address and some things we can't, but let's address the things we can address.
Yes. Address the things that we can address to reduce those air pollution burdens. We know that globally, we've seen some of the hottest years on record, but that heat is helping to form pollution that we're seeing from those industrial sources and otherwise. So that's why, you know, therefore, we're telling people, pay attention to the air quality forecast, take your precautions. There are things that we can do as an individual to reduce our own contributions to air pollution. And so considering some of that will also be helpful. I think everyone plays a role in cleaning up air pollution.
Our number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If you want to call in and tell us about how the air quality is impacting you and your family and how we can come together to find some solutions. So Joshua Smith, What obligations under the Clean Air Act does the EPA have? What have they failed to meet, specifically with the sulfur dioxide and other harmful pollutants that we have here in San Antonio and across Texas?
Yeah. So it's a good question. And as I mentioned earlier, the Clean Air Act envisions that states have the opportunity to take a primary role in addressing air pollution issues within their borders. But when the state fails to take action, fails to put together regulations that address this harmful pollution, EPA has an obligation to step in and step into the shoes of the state and do it for them. And in this case, with respect to both ozone and sulfur dioxide and a couple of other areas, not directly in San Antonio, but slightly outside, the state has repeatedly refused to do what the Clean Air Act requires, and in particular, address pollution from the largest sources of pollution that are causing non-attainment. And given the state's failure, we sued EPA to require the agency, the federal agency, to step in. And I do think this is relevant to what you were talking about earlier with Ms. Strother. We all have to do what we can. We can control the things we can. We can't control the things we can. International emissions are a thing. They do impact air quality in Bexar County. And the Clean Air Act recognizes that that sometimes is the case. And there are mechanisms that allow states to address those impacts. But the state in this case, especially with ozone in San Antonio and in Houston and in Dallas, has for decades really refused to do anything about industrial pollution, and in particular power plant pollution, and almost always sort of puts those industrial sources' needs, their desires, ahead of the community. And that's a big problem. And it's time for policymakers, in our view, time for policymakers to step up and take responsibility for cleaning up the air.
Well, Joanna Strother, looking at that list from the American Lung Association about the worst air quality in metro areas, is we're 20th in San Antonio. Is the list crowded with communities in Texas?
Yes. So Houston, Dallas, but really when we're looking at some of the top states there or top cities, they're places in California, Phoenix, Denver, Las Vegas. These are Southwest and Western states that really have the brunt of it. We're hot states, states with the weather inversion patterns. We have valleys like Salt Lake and Phoenix and Albuquerque. All of these places are topping lists.
And so fixing this problem, Joshua, are there remedies at these industrial sites that would allow them to continue operation and just not pollute so much?
Yeah, there are. I would go back. Our preference, and we think makes the most sense in a lot of circumstances, is to transition to cleaner fuel sources or cleaner energy sources. And CPS Energy, for example, has shown in its resource planning process that transitioning to renewable energy, in particular solar, given Texas's geography, makes a lot of sense economically. But aside from transitioning to cleaner energy, there are common sense mechanisms to control pollution from these sources. Many of which were built before the Clean Air Act amendments in 1977 were passed, and they don't have modern pollution controls. For example, the Spruce Power Plant Unit 1 emits nitrogen oxides, a powerful precursor to ozone, at a rate of about four times a modern power plant. And so there are ways that those facilities can improve their existing controls in a cost-effective manner. It just requires TCEQ and policymakers to step in and do it.
And I got an email question from a listener about, you know, how the American Lung Association establishes the grading system. They write, the American Lung Association has been giving Bexar County the grade of F for many, many years. I'm not going to say that we have pristine air quality, but I am saying that this grade is showing that we are not in non-attainment when other industries based along the big urban cities like Houston have been in ozone non-attainment for years as well. If everyone gets an F, then what is the sense in distinguishing between ozone levels in cities if everyone gets an F?
Sure. So the grades are in place for people to understand that it's unhealthy for us to breathe, and it's a concern to our health. That's why we make an A to F type grading, like a report card. That's why it's a report card, so people can understand that there is an impact to your health. What's really interesting is that what we advocate for is air quality monitoring and surveillance, because in fact, there's not enough. Only one third of counties across the country have air quality monitors. So really what we see is a very small snippet of what our air pollution burdens are. Monitors are sometimes moved. Not all monitors monitor ozone or PM 2.5. They're monitoring different things. So we have a lot of different issues happening. What our report is looked out over a 3-year time period. We look at the days. This comes from EPA quality assured data from those air quality monitors that are overseen by federal and state and local governments. We get that data, we download it. We do give weighted averages. So when the air quality reaches that orange level, if you look at the air quality index for unhealthy, that's insensitive, or that's for that unhealthy level for sensitive groups, we give weighted averages. Orange, red, maroon, they all get, if we reach those maroon days, which is really severe. And then we assign rankings. And again, it's just to air quality is very technical and complicated. And we just want people to know that not all the time is air quality bad, but there are times. And we want people to minimize their time and understand that it impacts their health. Again, Deborah called in. We hear stories like Deborah's all the time, and we want to protect our next generation and minimize other people getting asthma, other people getting lung cancer from particle pollution. And so that's why we put out the report and give the grades.
Yeah, it's complicated, but it in some senses, it's very easy. I mean, I can't breathe. That's about as easy as it gets. We're going to take a break. Our phone lines are open. We'll get Kelly on the air. The number is 833-877-8255. Source continues after this. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. We're talking about air quality in the city, in the region, the metro area. That includes New Braunfels, Kerrville, and this area has bad air, according to the American Lung Association. You can call in with how this is impacting you, 833-877-8255. And let's go to Kelly. And Kelly, you're on the air.
Hello, how are you?
Okay.
My question was, I don't know in San Antonio or the state of Texas if people can drive with the exhaust going out of their muffler or something, or the muffler, you know, all the smoke that comes out of the cars. I don't know if that's legal or not in San Antonio. Can anyone answer that?
Well, according to ACOG, the Alamo Area Council of Government, they have on their website, they say that a car is allowed to emit smoke from their muffler or whatever the exhaust for 10 seconds. But if it goes on beyond that, it's one of these, you know, sometimes you see these rolling coal-driven cars, it looks like, down the street. You can report those cars. You can go to the ACOG website and you can report them, and they can follow up and try to have that dealt with. But let's go to Joshua Smith with the Sierra Club before your answer.
Yeah, I'd echo that. I'd echo the suggestion to go and report those kinds of vehicles that you see. The Clean Air Act does include provisions that make it illegal to alter exhaust systems on mobile vehicles. But there are temporary kinds of exceptions as were discussed. So if it's a persistent problem, you should absolutely report it.
And ACOG, as I mentioned, they work a lot with trying to deal with the local air quality. They bring in stakeholders. They, they're responsible for the air monitoring that happens here. They're very much involved in trying to deal with the air non-attainment situation that we have going on. And so to that point, Joanna Strother, you know, bringing in the stakeholders, working to try to promote mass transit so that people can get out of their cars, trying to clean up the air that way. I mean, there has got to be a way to, you know, work with all of the industry, all the community, all the gather the information and the data and work with the schools, do everything you can in order to find solutions.
Yeah, states and the federal government must aggressively reduce the air pollution that is driving what we're seeing in the air. And this means rapidly transitioning to from combustion to zero emission transportation. We talked about that, to newer renewable energy sources. Even cutting methane from oil and gas operations is really another important step. But it takes everybody. It takes everybody coming together. And remember, there is a direct financial impact to the state when people are sick. There's a direct correlation on those unhealthy air days and people who would visit emergency rooms. And so if we're going to reduce this, we do have to aggressively tackle this. And it takes everybody.
Let's go to Javier on the phones. Javier, you're on the air.
Yeah. Hey, Dave, how about this guy at Southwest Research? He invented something a while back, I'd say within the past year or so, that will clean the carbon dioxide from the air. It sounds like a great invention. Never heard anything about it anymore. It'd be nice if you would have him on the air. Also, with the present president that we have, you know, right now, good luck in trying to pass anything, you know, helping the air quality. And also, you know, you have these meteorologists come out locally, and there's going to be a slight haze in the air. I say, call it for what it is. San Antonio's polluted. And that was all I had.
All right, Javier, thank you for that. So when we're talking about ozone, I mean, that's actually smog. Is it the smog word? Are we allowed to use the smog word, Joshua?
Yeah. Ozone is commonly known as ground level smog. And while ozone very high in the stratosphere is a good thing, it's, as we've been discussing, extremely harmful to breathe at ground level. I would follow up on your caller's thoughts, his comments. You know, there are things that we can do. This is a difficult time for the environment, in my view, given this current administration, but we are not helpless. It's important to reach out to your congresspeople, to your local policy decision makers, to TCEQ, Texas Commission on Environmental Quality, and comment on rulemakings that affect air quality and the environment in your area. This kind of ground level movement can make a difference. Get involved in CPS Energy's resource planning process when it opens up. Submit your comments there about affordable clean energy as an option to help improve air quality. There are things we can do, we hope that folks on the ground in Bexar County take advantage.
And Joanna Strother, the stories that we've been hearing have been moving this afternoon. And are those stories captured? Are they just written off? Do we hear the stories of people struggling, the children struggling to breathe? I mean, I think that if people knew about this in a more direct way and that they realized that their gas guzzlers were part of the problem, that there would be a political movement to do something. I mean, why aren't we hearing these stories more often, more frequently, in the stronger presentation?
Sure. We definitely need more stories. We need more people to contact their members of Congress, to contact their local elected officials, their state senators and representatives, and share their story. They're not hearing it enough, but when they hear it, they get it. When they were hearing all of the stories about access to Medicaid, they were talking about it. Our elected officials were talking about it, but they need to hear it. So we need people to become advocates. We need them to share their stories. It's extremely important in shaping policy. And it's important for our decision makers to know that the decisions they make have an impact on the people that live there.
Joshua, this lawsuit that was filed alongside the Center for Biological Diversity, calling for the EPA to take stronger action in Texas, Arizona, and Tennessee. What's happening on that?
Yeah, as a result of the lawsuit, EPA has agreed to take action on several air quality plans from different states. And when I say take action, you might recall the Clean Air Act really gives states the first opportunity to fix air quality problems. And only if the state fails does EPA step in. And what this particular lawsuit requires is for EPA to either approve or disapprove air quality plans that are submitted by these various states, including Texas, that address air quality problems in Bexar County. And so there will be an opportunity in the coming months. So going back to my comment from before, there will be opportunities for the public to offer comments to EPA as to whether these plans are sufficient and whether they do enough. And as we've been discussing, it is important to tell your story. Policymakers will listen eventually. It's important to just keep the drumbeat alive that we need to have clean air, and there are ways to accomplish it.
I mean, even in this administration, we saw in Trump's first administration that there was weak enforcement and rollback of thresholds.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. It's discouraging, even borderline demoralizing, I recognize. But the longer that folks advocate for themselves and tell their stories, the more that there can be a groundswell. There are opportunities to challenge, to file lawsuits challenging ultimate rollbacks, if that's what EPA decides to do. If EPA decides to rubber stamp a Texas do-nothing plan, for example, there are opportunities to take that to the courts and hope that the rule of law prevails. So it's important, I think, to keep those institutions going and to keep participating and not to give up on it.
And Joshua, are people able to sue under the fact that they are being personally harmed? They have standing because they are being harmed by the fact that the Clean Air Act is not being enforced?
That's a complicated question, and it sort of depends on the individual facts. The Clean Air Act does include provisions that allow citizens, even individuals, to sue people, industrial sources, other people that are violating the act. It would have to be sort of a case-by-case situation.
Okay. It's really difficult to point to one particular source and saying this is impacting my health, I imagine, in a courtroom. Joanna Strother, and I guess the thing is for people need to realize that they can have an impact on cleaning up the air. We just don't have to accept it, that this is something that we can do something about.
Yes, it is something that we can do something about. As Mr. Smith mentioned, getting involved and telling those stories are extremely important. In fact, through our website at lung.org, we have a way for people to tell their story. They can tell us their story, and we use that to talk to our decision makers because we have to do more. We have to do more. We know that our health is on the line, and if we're going to protect this next generation, it needs to start today.
Yeah, our health, our children's health, our grandchildren's health, the entire environment, our community, we need to do something. So, yeah. Joanna Strother, thank you so much. American Lung Association Senior Director of Advocacy, and also Joshua Smith, Senior Attorney with the Sierra Club's Environmental Law Program. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
That's The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thank you for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz, Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.